We're going to look into the scriptures and we're going to see the familiar Christmas story. And as we look at that story this evening, we're going to see some very profound things about Jesus and what he did and why and how and the purpose that he came to us in that manger. As you follow along in your bulletin, you can see we're going to look at some different aspects. The first point we want to look at this evening is the fact that Jesus came to be like us. John 1 tells us that in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then that the Word became a human being, full of grace and truth, lived among us. And we saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. Hebrews 2 goes on to say, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. Therefore, it was necessary for Jesus in every respect to be made like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. You know, it's a profound thought to just grasp. You know, Jesus didn't just appear. God didn't just, you know, appear in the form of a man. You know, he chose to be born, to literally go through the whole process of the human experience, just the way we would. To think that Mary carried Jesus those 9 months. She felt God kicking in her womb. Profound. But he went through the full human experience to the nth degree. Experienced what we experienced. He experienced people not being nice to him. He experienced temptation. He experienced the whole human experience so that, the Bible says, he could be that faithful high priest. I like that old expression. You know, unless you've walked a mile in somebody's shoes, you just don't know. Well, Jesus became that child. He became a human being like us so that we could know that he's a merciful, faithful high priest. He understands us. He gets us. So the first thing that we want to understand tonight as we just revisit the Christmas story, Jesus came to be like us. He came to experience what we experience so that we know as we pray, it's not to a God who doesn't get us, who's afar off. He's walked that mile in our shoes. He knows what it's like. And he says because of that, he's able to be merciful, understanding, sympathetic to the things that we go through because he experienced this human condition. Now, I know my mom has a story. Your mom has a story perhaps of what it was like when you were born. For me, it was a fall. It was an autumn day. October 7th and October 6th, she told me about how she took this story and took this trip, you know, kind of into a park and just began to walk around and just enjoy the beauty of nature and the trees and all the colors and all that. And I thought that's really kind of an interesting little story. It's not something obvious that I can remember, but it's interesting to know that there's that little story that she had around my birth. And here Jesus, God, becomes flesh, and here's the story that surrounds his birth. Luke 2, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's the story around our Lord Jesus Christ's birth. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and we're going to celebrate with our toddler praise to come forward and you guys would come forward and minister to us in music tonight. Praise God. I'll tell you what a... You know, Jesus was that age too. In fact, 2,000 years ago to this very moment in time, he was walking on this earth as a human being. If you could take your time machine and set it back precisely 2,000 years ago, you'd see him on this earth physically. And he was 2, he was 3, he was 4. Right now, he'd probably be about 16 or so, somewhere in there. So it is an amazing thing to think that Jesus, God, became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He came to be like us, to walk and to experience life as we experience it. We also find out, too, that Jesus not only came to be like us, but he came to be with us. And John 14 tells us, this is Jesus telling his disciples, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And Colossians tells us this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it's been revealed to his own holy people. For it pleased God to tell his people that the riches and glory of Christ are for you. For this is the secret. Christ lives in you. And this is your assurance that you will share in his glory. And again, just the next aspect we want to look at tonight, he not only came to be like us, but he came to be with us, to live in us. The thing that Adam and Eve had in the garden before the fall was not a religion. They had a relationship with God where they could walk and talk in the cool of the day. It was a beautiful connection that they had with God. And when you look at Jesus, where he came to be here, to be Emmanuel, God with us, to open up a whole new world for everybody to be able to be with God and to be connected like that. Now, I don't know, some of you guys might not remember, but in the olden days, if you wanted to connect to the internet, you had to do a dial-up. And usually you had one phone line in your house. And whoever got the computer, whoever got the desktop, they got to get on the internet. They could communicate back and forth. And usually there would be the beeps, the tones of the dialing, and then you would kind of hear this grinding sound. You know, and then that was actually a good sign, though, because after a little bit of grinding, you knew that, okay, I'm connected to the internet. And it would be very slow, but you could at least communicate. And that's kind of the old form, the old way it was in the, you know, before Jesus came. It was kind of, there was an elite group of people that could get connected to God. And it was cumbersome, and it was not, you know, the way God fully intended it to be. But when Jesus came, now we all know, we've got our devices and everything like that. Everybody in the house can have a wireless connection and be connected in the internet. Well, when God sent his son Jesus, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live and to dwell on the inside of us, it gave us the ability, to all of us, to be able to be connected to God. Not just the elite few, but everybody, least to greatest, doesn't matter anything in the natural, any demographic, everybody had the ability now to be connected to God and to have that relationship with God. And so what we celebrate tonight is the fact that not only did he come to be like us, but he came to be with us and to live with us in a way that we would never be separate from him again. Matthew 1:22 says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So love the way the scripture captures that, how personal it makes it to us. For he's talking to those shepherds out in the hills, for born to you this day is the city of David a Savior. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And I'll tell you, Christmas time is really the time where we need to really reflect and personalize how God, Jesus was born unto you. There is no one on this planet of, we're up to 7 billion people, or the history, that Jesus was any more born to than you. God's willing, none should perish. There is nobody on this planet that Jesus was more born to than he was born to you. And this night, we think, oh, unto me. For unto me is born this city, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's the very first Christmas gift ever given was given by God to us. For God so loved, he gave. And it's not a gift that obviously was wrapped in beautiful paper and bows, but it was wrapped. It was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and it was lying in a manger. And there is a precious life on the inside of Jesus. And the Bible says, he who has the Son has life. And that's what we receive when we receive Jesus Christ. We receive a wonderful life. A life that lives on the inside of us. A life that outlives these bodies. These bodies are mortal. They are designed to die. There is no mortal body that will live forever. And so what we need, our Savior, is a life that outlives this body. And that's what he gives us, an eternal life that continues to go on and on and on with him. It was unto you, the child was born unto you, this son was given. The Bible tells the story in this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Praise God. That's the other aspect that we remember and reflect upon on this night. As we think of Jesus Christ, he came. He came to save us, to save us from our sins. As the scripture says in Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus came. He came to be like us. Why? To identify with our condition, to be that merciful, sympathetic, understanding high priest who gets us, loves us, and helps us in our time of need. He came to be with us, not just like us, but he came in a way to be with us. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, so that we will never be alone again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have an anointing that abides within. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You'll never be alone again. When you ask him into your life, he comes, and he's there forever. And then finally, he came as a Savior. He came to pay that debt. As we've said before, too, a person without a Savior is trying and hoping that their good outweighs their bad. But a person with a Savior knows that it's the Lord Jesus Christ's good that outweighs our bad. He came and lived that perfect, sinless life. And our trust and our confidence is in him. Where our sin abounded, his grace is much more abounded. And so our trust is in him as Savior. He has successfully came and saved us from our sins because of his perfect sinless life. And so tonight we remember and we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth this night 2,000 years ago, and all that it means, all of its significance. Let's worship the Lord tonight.